Blog Talk Radio.
I want to know, are you ready? America. Thanks for joining us. I want to know, are you ready to take back our country? As the name of this song states, are you ready to join together on common ground? By that I mean God, family, country, constitution. If so, you've tuned into the right place. If not, hang out with us. You may find there's more right in you than you know. I'm Gary Benford, host of United Patriots Uprising, coming to you every other Monday night for 2 hours of guest-driven, conservative-based political talk. It's all about the message, friends, looking to enlighten, edify, and equip, so each and every one of us will be able to engage, expose, and defeat the radical left's Marxist agenda in the arena of ideas, leading to a red tsunami at the polling places. So are you with me, America? If so, strap on your helmet and take up your shield, because we're in a war for the soul of our nation, and we're not about to lose. Socialism, not in our America, not on our watch. No way, no shape, no how. Good evening, America. Good evening, America. Glad to be back at you with another episode of United Patriots Uprising. I'm your host, Gary Benford. The call-in number, 347-637-3942. That's 347-637-3942. And if you want to find any of the 26 previous episodes, to listen to any of them with the great guests we've had over the first year, you would go to blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, or on Facebook, you could go facebook.com/United Patriots Uprising with Gary Benford, facebook.com/United Patriots Uprising with Gary Benford. All the shows are there and they all archive, so you can listen to these shows at your leisure. Coming up, the next show, July 12th, we're going to deal with critical race theory. Critical race theory. There will be another guest or two added, but we have Professor Nicholas Giordano. You see him all over cable news. Wendy Mahoney from Uncover DC. She's done extensive background work on this. Keisha King down in Florida, taking on the school system. She's been on Newsmax and a lot of other programs recently. She's on fire, just debunking everything about this totally, totally bogus critical race theory. And Joe Mobley, I encourage you to go Google it. The Joe Mobley Show. He's got his own podcast. Great show. Joe Mobley will be here. We will have other guests also as we deal with critical race theory. And then on July 26th, General Michael Flynn will be here. On July 26th, General Michael Flynn, Tracy Beans of Uncover DC, and the former Colorado Senator Ted Harvey. All right, that's going to be the shows coming up. Now you're wondering, why do you have a show tonight? I thought you do this every the first and third Mondays of the, you know, right. Yeah, I do. But tonight is the first anniversary show. I made it to a year. It has been a blessing. I'm going to thank all 69 guests who were a part of the 26 shows. It's been an incredible year and an incredible run. We're going to have a whole bunch of guests, a cast of thousands. Everybody that's going to be coming on, with exception of one person, has been a three-time guest, and they're people I have personal relationships with off of this show, following the show, that I've developed relationships, which I can call them anytime, they can call me anytime, and we have done that and talked about any and everything. So that's what we'll be doing. And I just want to say, this has been an incredible run. And one of the reasons that it got started is because of this first guest. So if you have a problem with me, the monster that's been created, this first guest helped create this monster, because 2 years ago, I was going trying to save my pennies to go to CPAC. And Lucretia Hughes told me, no, you don't want to do that. Go down to Rock the Red. I'd never heard of it. Go to Rock the Red down in Greenville, South Carolina. You'll be able to meet, bond, and network with the guests. I'll be one of them. Come down there. I guarantee you won't regret it. She was right. From that show, Lucretia came on my show, Tom DelVaccaro, K. Carl Smith, Claire Lopez, Trevor Loudon, John DeLemme, the list goes on and on, John Guandolo. I met so many people, Dr. Elena George, that helped get this show off the ground. So this is partially Lucretia Hughes' fault, so definitely had to bring her back on the show for about the fourth or fifth time. She is a conservative political activist out of Georgia. Her show is called Real News with Lucretia Hughes, and she does it every day, at least during the week, for 3 hours a day. That's work. So I am proud and happy to bring back to the show Lucretia Hughes.
Thank you, and congratulations. I am so proud of you for getting out there and taking the charge and getting the Patriot Nation and the Patriot Uprising up and going, because that's what's going to need to happen.
Lucretia, thank you very much, and you were really a big part of it, because when I went down there, I just had a little spot on a Rocky and the Wolfman radio show. I had no idea about doing my own show. My producer of this show, James Bostic, host of A Conservative Perspective, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 o'clock on this network, was sitting there at listening to Doug Collins with you and all these people at the Red, White, and Blue dinner, and he's talking about, Gary, you need to have your own show. That was January of 2020. It didn't happen until July of 2020, but that's when the seed was planted. And listening to you and the other guests, it made me just say, I have to do something. I have to expand this, because people have to know. And the only way I could do this is bring people on like you, bring on high-profile guests, because what do I know? And even if I know something, who cares? You know, I just needed to find people and hoped I'd be able to get people who could tell the people, because they have credibility and you're one of them. So tell the people what you do, and tell them right now how you see this country, where you see us, and what's the solution.
Well, what I do is I talk about the issues that are going on mainstream media. I take their words, their articles, and we dissect them. One of the things I always say is tell people that you need to do research yourself. If you're always scared about misinformation or being bamboozled and you don't want to believe what regular citizens of America have to say to you, then you know what? They're not doing anything behind the scenes. They're right there in your face. They can't cover it up anymore, because all the lies that are out there, you're just going to have to be that person to dissect the truth when it's staring you right there in your face.
So when it's staring you in your face and people don't get it, explain to people what you do to break down the truth. And as Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Explain to them what the truth is.
Well, I take the articles from everywhere, from Sky News to Daily Caller to Washington Post, CNN, and I take it and I tell people what they are deciding at the federal level, state level. It depends on if it's internationally, and if it goes against the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, of what, or just what it means to be a conservative in America, and then I talk about it. And a lot of stuff right now, this is the only nation that you can punch in the gut bad about China. You better not say anything about what's going on in the urban area, in a city. You better not talk about the real issues that are going on in America right now. And people are needing that hope to get back out there, and so they don't be bamboozled. And I'm telling people, it's time for you to grow up and do your research.
This is most definitely needed. Where do you see us at now? Because a lot of us didn't see this Joe Biden thing. We all know that the election, President Trump won the election. He smoked Joe Biden. The election was stolen. It's eventually going to come out. But for the moment, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is in the White House. So how do you process this?
You got to process it as though we win in the end, but you're still standing on the sideline looking at the executive orders over 70. How much that it was an opposite, polar opposite of what we was dealing with last year to what we're dealing with right now. And it's all, it seemed like it was planned. It's been patched out. The same corrupt people are still in power. It doesn't matter if it's the energy independence that we used to have in America or all the way to the soft run when it came to trust the science or what's going on in the Olympics right now. So this is the only nation that you can bash on worldwide television and no one says a thing. And it just seems like the power that be, mainstream media, are taking us down and doing this narrative. And if it wasn't for strong conservatives like yourself and myself getting it out there with all the snares, all the slings and arrows thrown our way, if it wasn't people to do this day by day, year by year, then we would be lost. But there's too many of us and your guests that's getting ready to come up that's out there on the front line telling the truth. We just hoping that they actually listen before it's a little bit too late.
Lucretia, you know, I don't even want to ask you this question because I've been asking this question now for a year. When is enough going to be enough? Now we have a woman, Olympic qualifier, black woman, that she didn't even win. She placed third, and she's turning her back to the flag. And yet she wants to represent the country. She's turning her back to the flag. Didn't even win, which took away the glory for the people, the person that came in the first and second. But she's turning her back, putting an activist T-shirt over her head and said, hey, I can't stand America, but I want to represent it. And we look at that and say, well, that's an isolated. Yeah, but no, it's not. This has been going on for I don't know how long, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Will it ever reach a critical mass where people on the left will just say enough is enough? I just can't put up with this anymore, and that they'll come to their senses.
It'll come to a critical mass when the people of America finally get tired and fed up. It'll come to a critical mass when they realize that our way of life as being American citizens from the Bill of Rights and our First Amendment all the way up to the 12th Amendment, when they realize what's been trampled or what they can lose if they don't get out there and start paying attention, and they understand that it hits home and hit their pocketbooks, is when they're going to finally wake up and start paying attention.
Yeah, I certainly hope you're right. And you know, both of us have been saying this for a couple of years now, and we keep waiting and waiting. And you're seeing socialism. You're seeing what communism will look like. You're seeing with
the first, you got to call it for what it is and not some progressive word that mainstream media think is going to make it a-okay to treat American citizens like third country people. Third world people.
Well, yeah, but they've been doing that forever.
Well, you also see right now that American citizens aren't taking it anymore. And you have these independent people that's coming out of left field, right field when it comes to new grassroots people. Don't give up the fight yet, because we just now understanding the gravity of what they actually did to us. So as more people in the hoods and the woods, because those zip codes aren't that too far apart. So when they finally have something to fight against, and that is having racism thrown back up in their face, having their way of life destroyed, and they understand that their nation is being crumbled from the powers that be, and that has been implemented and planned for decades, maybe they'll start paying attention to the real stuff that actually matters in America.
I agree with you. And by the way, I'm not giving up the fight. I'm escalating the fight. I'm just saying, when is it going to kick in? Like, are you finding that now there's starting to be more buyer's remorse? See, the people in Seattle and Portland have to understand, in Chicago, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not going to rebuild your city. Your businesses, if you lost it, it's gone. You're not getting a check. You know, it's
well, when you have the face on loves
in.
Of it all, when you have black comedians, the real hood, straight-laced black comedians saying, whoa, hey, this ain't making no sense. when you start having people that we grew up with opening up their eyes and taking that charge that are in our age range and more, because we don't have the Rodney Dangerfields. We don't have the Red Fox that's telling us don't trust the government. We don't have those two people anymore. So we got to be those people. So when you have these hood guys, these rappers, these people that you would never think that would stand up for their own rights, waking up to what's really going on, there's hope in America.
Well, we're watching all this, and we're watching all these pockets of this happening. And it doesn't have to be a lot, people. Just 10, all we have to do is flip 10 to 15%, 15 to 18%, and we'll change this country around. So I really appreciate what you do. Thank you for being an inspiration for me. And please tell the people how they can reach you and how they can find you and watch you.
Well, you can reach me pretty much on any social media platform. I go live daily from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and then 9 o'clock, depending on if I'm hungry or not.
There you go. Lucretia, thanks you. Until the next time, until Dave, I said hi.
Absolutely. And congratulations again, Gary.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it because you were one of the ones to help me get started. Lucretia Hughes, everybody. Lucretia Hughes. Real News with Lucretia Hughes. There have been 26 episodes of United Patriots Uprising, 69 incredible guests. So I'm going to start at A, and by the end of the show, we'll get down to the W's. So for now, I want to thank for appearing on the show Leola Antifowoshe, Barbara from Harlem, Kathy Barnett, Tracy Beans, Beverly Beattie, James Bostic, my producer, Curtis Bowers, Dave Bray, Morgan Brittany, who will be on later today, Elena Brooks, Eric Corcoran, Antonio Okafor-Cover, the late Tara Dawn, and she has a soft spot in my heart, as well as her co-host, Rudy Smith of the Delusion Solution, because when I was just doing a little Facebook page, just doing some posts, Tara Dawn was the first person to call me back in 2016 to be on her radio show. She had me on 16 times for 3 hours each show. That's where I cut my teeth and learned how to do this. And she passed away a little while ago, I think earlier this year. So, but she remains a treasure to me. Tom Del Vaccaro, John DeLemme, who will be on later today, Darla Daywall. Those are just some of the people starting from A to D who have been on the show. And the next guest has been on several times. I was with her at Rock the Red earlier this month. Also met her at Rock the Red in 2020. She is a former CIA operative. She is the founder president of Lopez Liberty. And anytime I have a question about anything governmental, I call Claire Lopez. So I welcome back to the show, Claire Lopez.
Hi. Thanks.
Claire, it's a pleasure to have you here. You can't have a celebration without you.
Really good to be with you. Absolutely happy about it. Yes, congratulations.
Thank you very much. You've probably been on as much as I have when I counted up. It's about 6 or 7 times this year, and I really appreciate it because you just have such a wealth of knowledge. So I'd like to just tell the people before you tell them, you know, how they can catch up with you and your organization. Give us kind of a recap of where you see we are at this point in time in the country.
Oof. How many minutes did you give me?
You only have 10.
we're in a lot of trouble right now. I mean, nobody listening here doesn't already know that. We're in the middle of a communist Marxist revolution. I mean that literally. I mean that in the Bolshevik 1917 Russia sense of the word. It hasn't hit the streets completely and totally yet, but it's going to, and you've already seen the leading edges of that. What we've been going through for the last several decades, 5, 6, 7 decades, has been Antonio Gramsci's long march through the institutions, and that was the subversive part of this that got inside of and took control of so many of our key institutions, from academia to every level of government office, to faith communities, to the media, of course, to pop culture, and so forth. Everybody knows this. But now they have reached such a level of saturation of the institutions, not of America, not of middle America, not of American citizen patriots, but of the institutions that they feel pretty much they can do what they want. And so that's what we're up against. Now, I was just at, over this past weekend, a fantastic rally, Oklahoma Freedom Rally in Norman, Oklahoma. And boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, that's the heartland. That's the place where American patriots live. That was a fantastic weekend program of so many wonderful, good speakers, patriots all. And that's who's going to work to take this all back, to reinvigorate our republic, our constitutional republic. It's not going to be Capitol Hill. It's not going to be inside the Beltway. It's going to be out there in the heartland, in the homeland, in places like Oklahoma.
That's what, we have to do it, because if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Claire, please address the useful idiots. And people, your useful idiots that are listening to the show, or the people that have useful idiots, if you understand what useful idiots is, what Lenin and Stalin used to call the people that carried the water, that did the dirty work, that did the activism, took it to the street, and they thought it was about their issue, but it wasn't about their issue. It was always about the revolution. Once the comrades get in power, the useful idiots are the first ones to get shot. They think they're going to be part of the elite class. They get, like Mao, lined up against the wall and blown away. Please address the useful idiots, Claire, because they don't know they're useful idiots, most of them. Can you kind of try and wake some people up for us? Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how many would be on your program, but I hope there's a bunch.
Well, friends, everybody has some. We all have relatives and friends. We want them to take this program to these people.
So what we're talking about really are well-meaning people in the main. We're talking about people who care about things like race relations in America, who care about things like poverty, who care about things like our children's education and all of the rest of it. But it's so easy to be led astray, especially with the saturation of mass media, social media, and you know, sorting it all out for the average person is just not so easy. And the messaging is very expertly done. Information operations are professionally done, by the forces of Marxism, communism, Maoism. They know how to package things to sell them to ordinary, regular folks who may not have alternative sources of information or just haven't yet turned to some that are available to them, but they need to. And so they get led astray and sometimes become, you know, the cheerleaders for Marxist movements like Black Lives Matter movement, for example, without even realizing that Black Lives Matter movement is Marxist in its origins, and that its founders and leaders openly, self-avowedly tell everybody that they are Marxists, and that not just Marxists, but trained Marxists, but they don't realize that. And even if they heard that word, they might not know what Marxist means. You know, that Marxist means communist. It means revolution to overthrow the existing order of our constitutional republic, to destroy law and order, and to instigate a sufficient level of chaos that society literally collapses. And out of that chaos and collapse, the communists seek to seize power. And just as you said there, Gary, you know, when that revolution takes place, you know, be it Lenin's Russia or Mao's China or Pol Pot's Cambodia or right near to home, Castro's Cuba, when that happens, the useful idiots are lined up against the wall, and that's the end of it. Listen to Yuri Bezmenov, Bezmenov, KGB defector from 1970. Watch his videos. You can go find him online. Warning us of what happens and how it happens. And it's unfolding in front of our eyes right now.
Yep, you're right about that. And it's very, very scary. Claire, my final question to you is not a question. It's just reach out and tell the people that say, you know, I don't have a microphone. I don't have a pen. I don't have a camera. You know, I don't know how to write. I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to get started. How do I talk to my friends? How do I talk to the people in my church? How do I talk to my family? just for the average person that's never gotten involved politically, now that wants to, how would you tell them to start?
You know what, the first thing I would say is, don't worry about whether you've got, you know, a bachelor's degree in English literature or something. You don't have to. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to even be particularly articulate. All you have to do is put into words speaking or even writing, social media, or maybe your local newspaper, send in a little op-ed. In your own words, what you're feeling. Put those words, put those feelings into words. It doesn't matter if it doesn't sound, it's probably better. It's a whole lot better if it doesn't sound like it comes out of some Ivy League university. Believe me, it's better. And just put into words what you're concerned about. I'm worried about what my kids are learning in school. Just say it. Put it into words. If you want some backup, you want some information to help you first, you know, go to places like Christopher Rufo, R-U-F-O. You know, go to Natural Discourses by James Lindsay. You'll find information there. You know, listen to other people on social media who are sounding the alarm. At the National Pulse, for example, Raheem Kassam's outlet. You know, go to places that will give you the background to feel more confident if that's what you're looking for. But I would say in the meantime, look at all these parents that we're watching on the videos. They're going to their school board meetings. You know, they don't have PhDs from Yale, and goodness knows who wants one these days. But they're going to their school board meetings by the hundreds, not even by the dozens anymore, by the hundreds. And they're getting up to the microphone, and they're talking like moms and dads and aunts and uncles and, you know, whatever of the family you may be. And they're just talking to the board members and saying, you stop. You will not do this to our children. Our children will not be indoctrinated to communism and Marxism, to hate one another, to be divided into groups, oppressed and oppressors. That's not going to happen. It doesn't have to be PhD dissertation, okay? You just say what you feel about these things, and that is what we need. That is what I call grassroots. That's what's coming up out of the heartland. Be part of that.
Claire, it couldn't have been put any better. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for taking some of my weird phone calls. Like that, you know, like I'll call Claire and ask, you know, I'm walking down the street with a friend on a Sunday afternoon, and we run into a couple that says some crazy stuff about some assassination of some political figures, and I didn't hear it, and they said it's all over the Internet. So I just call Claire, you know, find out those people, unfortunately, are still alive. But that's a joke. It's a joke, FBI. Don't come after me. So, but Claire, I really appreciate it. Tell people how they can find you and reach you want to tell them about Lopez Liberty LLC.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I am on social media, for example, at Claire M. Lopez on Twitter and Facebook. I have a channel now at Telegram, and that is Lopez Liberty. Just started. It's brand new. Go join up. If you would like to. Also, I publish in places like Jamie Glazoff and the Front Page Magazine, David Horowitz Freedom Center. My videos with Jamie Glazoff at the Glazoff Gang are there at his website, too. Also, Citizens Commission on National Security or the United West, and also the American Truth Project. I might have missed a few, but those are the main ones.
I thank you very much, and thank you for what you do, because, boy, you have a wealth of knowledge. Thank you for coming on again, Claire.
Absolutely.
There you have it, everybody. Claire Lopez, you talk about a former CIA operative that understands what's going on. She does. And talking about understanding, here's what I'm going to do, because my bud, John DeLemme, the founder and president of the Conservative Business Journal and podcast, which is one of the largest growing, if not the largest growing conservative podcast news media organizations in the United States. You can't have John talk 10 minutes, you know, in a conversation or something. So what I'm going to do is introduce him and drop the mic, and I'll come back a little later and let John just tell you just what he wants to tell you, because boy, does he have a wealth of knowledge. John, for a period of time there, was calling me every morning in the morning, Ben Fro, 1 a.m. from down in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
to keep me going and to keep me pumped up, and we keep each other pumped up, because Gideon, God. God is not through with America. And as John said, God is just looking for some faithful people to hang on until the time comes. So I welcome the founder of Conservative Business Journal and podcast. He's an author of more than 20 books, a dynamic public speaker who I've heard twice at Rock the Red, my friend John DeLemme. John, I'm just dropping the mic, and you got the floor for about 8 minutes.
Well, thank you, my man. Garrett, but you got to hold the mic a little bit. You know, I'm excited for you.
I do.
Got to hold it, man, because I want to congratulate you and your commitment. I remember having conversations about 13, 14 months ago about should I don't know, not sure. And I want to congratulate you on your one-year anniversary of getting voices out there, of encouraging, inspiring, empowering people from all variety of expertise in your radio show. And congratulations on being a voice out there. You are doing your important ingredient in this recipe of conserving and protecting what this country was founded on. So I
really
congratulate you,
that from you
on your commitment.
Because you do not mince words and you do not give out idle adulation. So I thank you very much.
No, I appreciate that, Gary. And you're going to hear a little bit of a serious tone from me tonight. Reason being is there is a war in this country right now. I've been saying it for a very long time, but you know, I'll be 56 this year, and I've been studying the history of America. I've been studying, obviously, business and conservative values. I've always been a conservative. I wrote a book 16 years ago about being pro-life and about being someone that believes God only births champions. And there's been an attack on this country, one word, one mistake at a time, from we as conservatives. You know, and as the founder of the Conservative Business Journal, I just came off a huge event in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the Battle of Gettysburg, which was tremendous. And our friend Presley called us on Wednesday night, and, you know, Mr. Magoo of politics, say, I'm coming up. So we rushed Presley with a little VIP ticket to the event. We had close to 600 people at the event, Gary, the largest event in Pennsylvania since the China virus came in. And it's awesome just to see the patriots arising everywhere around the country. I'm speaking tomorrow night, this is time sensitive, at an event called Trumpsters Tuesday Therapy. And there are people in this country, all of you listening, you are very special people, an important voice. And the word conservative means to protect something from harm or destruction and to guard from corruption. A conservative, Gary, is a person, means all of you listening are people. You're individual people that God created for to make a difference and to affect the entire destiny of this country and your family. A conservative is a person that stands firm on traditional values. I want you guys to write that word down, traditional values. When something's valuable, Gary, what do? You protect it. Something that's valuable. And I want to take that to heart. Obviously, when we travel, we leave, we'll be selling our home here, shortly moving into a condo we own, because we're now back on the road constantly. So God has called me back on the road to speak, because there's a calling to inspire, encourage, and educate people. Obviously, I speak in a very motivating, inspiring manner, but we just unleash wisdom sprinkled inside that. And you got to realize, traditional value, something of value you protect, the value of life, the value of traditional marriage, the value of Judeo-Christian values, the value of the freedom of speech, the freedom to communicate, being pro-life and pro-Second Amendment, you know, the right to bear arms. I mean, protecting and supporting law enforcement, protecting religious liberty, the ability to protect the Judeo-Christian beliefs that America was founded on, standing with Israel and protecting the nation from foreign enemies. Supporting capitalism. You know, 98% of business in America is small businesses, 10 employees or less. That's the heartbeat of America. My family came to America in 1913, nine of them, with $160 in their pocket through Ellis Island. And I know you saw for the first time, Gary, the actual boat that came over on when you saw me present.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
And I can tell you, this weekend as I spoke, and obviously when I speak, I'm blessed to, you know, speak to people afterwards and all the conversations and everything goes on. And every one of them, not some of them, Gary, every one of them said, I appreciate you allowing me to become a fighter in my life, meaning not physically, but fight and protect traditional values. If someone's trying to break in your home and you own it, you protect it. That's a conservative. You protect traditional values. So our country was founded upon hardworking Americans. Work hard, earn income, bless your church, bless your family, bless your community. There's a war on capitalism versus socialism. It's really communism versus capitalism. That's why when you look at the commodity chain, and I'll get a little, I know I got 3 minutes remaining, but I'll get, I'm correct, right? I think I got 3 minutes out of eight.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Because when you look at communism, I knew this when we had this conversation, Gary, numerous times. Remember, guys, when you visit my website, you listen to Gary is talented, not only just a great host of a radio show, he's also a great expert. There is Marxism, BLM, Black Lives Matter, Marxism, tremendous. Had him on my show numerous times. And Gary's funny, too. We had somebody send me an email a mile and a half long today because they won't. I won't have him on my podcast because all he talk about is 24. I'm like, you can't talk about 2024 until we correct 2020. But that's not for our conversation in the next few minutes. Communism in America is what went on with the coronavirus is they shut small businesses down to control people. See, the atmosphere of fear is a control atmosphere. They shut people down, quarantine them, and put them in their home, shut businesses down so they control them. You know, the Fed is dead. I mean, they're printing more money. That's another hour show on that. But we have to realize that all of you have capital. Your two most valuable assets you have is the mind God gives you. Everyone pay attention. All of you are special people with tremendous value, and the heart God gives you. Mind plus heart creates. And when you create, God gives you direction. And when you're a creator, God's going to give you ideas, the ability to go out and improve your excellence at work, increase your value, get other opportunities. You know, we have to protect the opportunity to prosper in America, Gary. The opportunity to prosper. You know, one of my quotes is socialism eliminates tithing. Capitalism explodes tithing. No one got a stimulus check and said, hey, I'm going to tithe on that. Let's let that sink in, everyone. That's why, you know, as a conservative, we have to protect our strong foreign policy that makes America the most powerful nation in the world, just to clear the air. You will never hear me, Gary. I've never used this. That's why I've been on Fox before. I probably will never be on Fox again because you'll never hear me use these two words, Gary, Biden and president together. Let me drop that bomb on your show. Why? The man did not win. When you don't win, you don't own something. He doesn't own the right for that. Well, John, move on, get over it. That's your opinion. I wrote a book 19 years ago called 10 Life Lessons, How to Find Your Why Now, and let me leave you with this point, Gary. I talk about outrageous faith. It takes outrageous faith, but right now, boys and girls, let me share with all of you listeners around the world, Gary, the number one word the enemy has to fear is audits, Gary, audits.
Audits. There you go.
You know what that is, Gary? That's like the rock. And I talked this weekend. That's like the rock in the slingshot for Goliath. Audits. Pay attention, everyone. Audits. That is what we have to protect. The integrity of a vote. You know, final point. I'll turn it back to you, Gary. We have to conserve and protect the value of the right to vote in a fair and free election. Election integrity. My in-laws from Tennessee for the first time, country folks, they voted for the first time, and their vote was stolen. Somebody went into my mother-in-law's house and stole something. I, as a son-in-law, in the career I have a right to protect that and teach people how to do that. All of you, get some fire, get focused, and be a conservative. And just to recap, a conservative is a person that stands firm on traditional values, and Gary, here we go, and refuses to compromise on those values for anyone or anything. Back to you, Gary Binford. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your team that makes it happen.
Thank you, John. Tell people how to reach Conservative Business Journal and what it's about.
Two ways. You guys can go to conservative, it's all one word, conservativebusinessjournal.com, and we have a team of 20 contributors. We post articles and writings consistently, and on there you'll see the word podcast. I'm honored to say I do have one of the largest conservative podcasts out there. Gary's been on it numerous times as a search feature. Just go in there, look at Gary, think Binford, listen to Gary. And then also, since I'm censored everywhere, I began a Telegram. Now I do have a Telegram presence. You guys can go on Telegram. And if you're on Telegram, you can just search my name, John Dilemme, spelled D-I-J-O-H-N-D-I, space, capital L-E-M-M-E. Or if you just go in your browser and put in cbjtelegram.com, we set that redirect up for you, cbjtelegram.com, follow me on Telegram, and obviously my main website, conservativebusinessjournal.com. Gary Binford, you're awesome. A.K.A. Binfro. You're awesome, man. Love you, brother.
Hey, thanks. Thank you very much. Tell Christy I said hi. Keep on doing what you're doing, John. We need more people like you. God bless you and Christy. John DeLemme, Conservative Business Journal. John DeLemme of the Conservative Business Journal. Some more people who have been on this show, 26 episodes, 69 guests, several who have been on as many as three, four, some five times. Sabine Durden-Coulter, Vince Ellison, Ron Edwards, the smoothest voice in radio. He will be on later today. Sean Farish, Donna Fiducia and Don Nguyen, Will Figueroa Jr., Michelle Fisher, Marie Fisher, Siggy Flicker, national spokesperson for Jexit, Brigitte Gabriel, boy did she set the airwaves on fire, Dr. Elena George, Agnes Gibney, Professor Nicholas D'Argano, John Guandolo, Marcus Gutierrez, Gene Ho, who we'll hear from later tonight, Thomas Holman from ICE, who was on the previous show, Mark Hoffman, who will be on tonight, David Horowitz, and you did hear from Lucretia Hughes. These are some of the outstanding people who have been on this show, and this is what has helped make this show. Now, one of the things that you have to understand about me, as I said, I never really thought I was going to do this. And when James Bostic posed it to me, I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't want my own show, okay? Because as I said before, I you know, if I was going to do a show, I wanted to bring on named people. So somebody, people who had credibility. Because who am I? I may have a voice. I may even know what I'm talking about, but people don't know who I am. So you really can't start without help. And the first show aired June 29th, 2020. And that first show hit the ground running. My very first guest, actor Nick Searcy, followed by Burgess Owen, followed by Morgan Brittany, followed by Curtis Bowers. That was the first show. And I want to thank Beverly Zaslow of Zaslow Media for getting me Morgan Brittany and Nick Searcy, because they really helped to make that show. And without them, it would have been, you know, you're looking for some names, then she gave names. And there's been so many people along the way. I want to thank Sandy Frazier of Sandy Pundit. She's a freelance publicist. Sandy has provided four of her clients, Brigitte Gabriel, David Horowitz, Karen Cataleen, who's a talk show host out in Colorado, and Dr. Steve Turley. Okay? I want to thank Jerry McDaniel of the South Carolina GOP. And it just shows you, you never know where things are going to lead. I was trying to get Tracy Beans on the show, of the editor of Uncover DC, because she was speaking at Rock the Red, which I was going to attend, and I wanted to have her on the pre-Rock the Red show that I was doing. So I was trying to get, Tracy, and I was having trouble making a contact, and I knew she knew, she was a friend of Jerry McDaniels. I knew Jerry. I called Jerry. Jerry had her, said, she'll get in touch with you. Tracy got in touch with me. We started talking. Tracy came on the show. Next thing I know, Tracy is close to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and I know in some way, shape, or form, they're very instrumental that he will be on the show the 26th of July. So this is the way these things happen. And, I'm really, really, really thankful. And I am going to now bring on somebody to tell you why. I have no clue why James Bostic thought I could do this, but I am going to bring on the big boss man, who is my producer, and he's got a couple minutes to spare here. And James, can you come on and will we count that story? I'm sitting there. We're sitting at Rock the Red in 2020, listening to Doug Collins. And believe me, when you turned to me and said, Gary, you should have your own show, I really thought you were joking. I welcome to the show the big boss man, James Bostic, host of A Conservative Perspective, heard on this network, the Patriot Nation Radio Network, on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7. He's got David Horowitz coming up very shortly, right?
Next Tuesday. He'll be up on the 5th, July 5th.
There you go.
And that's we'll talk about that in a minute. Happy anniversary, man.
Hey, thanks, man. This is your fault. You started all
well,
this.
I told you, you didn't. You looked at me like I was crazy, and laughed. I remember
crazy.
You laughed in my face.
Well, it wasn't
said,
a real laugh. I snickered because I understood. I'd come out of the music business. I understood the work. I don't have a staff. I don't have deep pockets. I understood the work I'd have to put in to do this.
Well, yes, all those things are true, but you had me.
And, I didn't know that then.
But the reason I said that to you that night when you and I were talking and you know, was having a great time, you know, we got to see the elephant. You know, we were there and we got to meet our podcasting pals for the first time face-to-face, and we made some tremendous contacts like Claire, Trevor, and Dr. George and Gene Ho. But the reason I said that to you was because, number one, personally, I thought just from our conversations and you being on my show and vice versa and the talking that we did on and off the air, that it was clear you definitely had the chops for this. And I knew that you wanted to go a different route. You wanted to go, you know, I knew that your dream, your desire was to be, you know, on the circuit, going out there and speaking, and I think that you would have killed it that. But there was just something innately told me you could do it. Like I said, that you had the chops. You had the background, the journalistic background from your newspaper days, and you knew what questions to ask. You knew how to ask them. You had extensive experience dealing with celebrities and making those contacts and understanding that network from your days when you were in the music promotion business. And to me, it seemed like a very natural, it was a no-brainer. I looked at you and I saw these things, and knowing you the way that I did and had come to know you through our conversations, it was clear to me you were really going to be good at this, and you have knocked it out of the park every single show.
Well,
with
your
guests,
your
with your commentary.
That's your opinion, but I thank you for
no,
that.
It's not simply my opinion. There are a lot of people out there, and you know that to be true. You're being modest, and I respect you for that. But and I've been doing radio for, as you know, I've done radio for about I've been at it a while, and overall, you know, most, you know, I've done some stuff that's pretty good. But as we talked earlier. And but this body of work that you've put together in 1 year with the level of guests and how well you've done is astonishing to me. And being part of this program is as important a thing as I have ever done, and probably prouder of this than I am of any radio accomplishments that I've done so far. This is great, and it's because of you and what you're doing. And
well,
I appreciate the fact that you listen to me.
I listen to you because you have experience, and I really appreciate you coming on. You will be back on later.
You bet.
With the crew, but I really appreciate you because you have something to do. But I really appreciate you. You know, I couldn't have done this without you because I have to talk. And what people have to understand, this show is fluid and the guests come and go, and it's on a schedule. It's on a script. But they're supposed to call in, or we call them, and sometimes they don't call, and sometimes we have to call, and sometimes the line's busy, and then sometimes the show's running late, and then there's sometimes that they're in the green room, which is a studio, which is a, you know, audio studio, and James will come on. He's going to explain later what he does. He's going to come on with them and talk to them, and well, Gary will be with you in three, you know, and it's a whole thing, and if he's not able or somebody's not able to handle all of the other things that are going on there, I have to talk and I have to listen to the people. So it's been a wonderful year, and I really appreciate James for everything that he has done. So I want to give a couple more names of other people. So we stopped at Lucretia Hughes, who have been on the show in this year. Bishop E.W. Jackson, Deontay Johnson, I thank them all, Will Johnson, Karen Cataline, Claire Lopez, Trevor Loudon, Sophia Manalesco, Jerry McDaniel and Robin Holly, Jan Morgan, Bill Muckler, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, Kwan Nguyen, out in Arizona State Legislator. Rachel Okaye, who gave me my start on Rocky and the Wolfman with a segment that led up to this. Burgess Owens, Star Parker, Virginia Prodan, who will be on later tonight. And boy, does she have a story to tell you. So it was really interesting how this thing got started, because Beverly Zaslow of Zaslow Media told me, well, you know, I could get you a couple big names. And she came up with Morgan Brittany and Nick Searcy. And I'm like, oh, you can get me Nick Searcy? Yeah. And she goes, yeah, but here's the thing. Nick is shooting a movie, so he's not going to contact you, and you can't contact him. But 5 minutes before he's supposed to go on the air, call him, and he'll come on the show. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I hope Nick comes on. Because if Nick doesn't come on, I got a half hour to kill my very first guest ever, and there would be no Nick. But not only did Nick come on then, Nick Searcy is here right now to talk about his new movie, America, America, God Shed Its Grace on Thee. I welcome back my very first guest on the show, and Nick, I hope the show got better over the year, Mr. Nick Searcy.
Hey, Gary.
Are you laughing? I hope you're laughing.
Not you, but...
You there? Nick, we're having a little trouble hearing you. I think you're breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
It's a little better. You're breaking up on us.
Well, I'm shooting a movie. That's probably...
Yeah, I'm hearing every third word. Let's see what we can do about this. Is there anything we could do to get Nick in a better situation where we can hear him? No, not yet.
Okay.
Are you around a lot of electronic equipment?
No, it's way up in the desk.
Okay, my producer is telling me he's going to call you back. We're going to try that, okay? Thank you. So, yeah, and it was incredible because Nick came on and he was great, and Morgan Brittany, the former Star Dallas, came on and she lit up the show, and that first show was just so wonderful, and it just got this off on a good foot, and we've just tried to keep it going, and we're going to keep it going. We're looking to, you know, God gave me a blessing to allow me to do this, and I give all the thanks and glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me a forum and an avenue to try and just reach people for God, family, country, and Constitution. And that this is why I do this show. I do this show just so we can just get as many people that you may recognize from radio, television, you know, news, books, movies, to come on and expound conservative values to you, so that you can take them out and take them out to your friends and everything. Nick, you there now? Nick? Yeah. Oh boy.
Here.
Okay, you're here. Let's try this again. Thanks for coming back on, Nick. You know, we talked in 2020, and we thought we were going to have a different president. What went wrong?
Well, they stole it. I mean, that's really what went wrong. I mean, the election was a fraud, and that's why January 6th happened. And that's what we're dealing with now. And I think it's going to be proven over with that Joe Biden is not legitimately elected. The only question will be what we do about it then.
That's the point. What are we going to do about it then? And along those lines, you have done a great documentary, America, America, God Shed Its Grace on Thee. I was watching the trailer and just got a kick out of you on that scooter, that motorized scooter. I got a kick out of watching you just easing on down the road there. Tell the people about the movie and why you did the movie and what the premise is.
Well, next reading of the relationship between the Bible and the Constitution, and just as an extension of that, America's relationship with God, that America was founded on God's word, and has turned away from that over the years, and that's kind of why we've wound up in the shape that we're in. But America, America, God shed his grace on thee, is interviews with a number of people about our country's origins, about the relationship between God and America through the years, and it's also it's done in a way so that it's entertaining. It's funny, and I ride a scooter, a motorcycle, a horse, and a limousine and an airplane in it. I do all my own stunts.
By the way, when you playing, when you were doing your detective stuff, like if most people will remember you from Chief Deputy United States Martial Art Mullen in Justified, did you do all your own stunts when you were doing TV shows?
Yes. In that show, most of what I did in Psych, and then once in a while I would.
Well, you're coming and going on me again. I hope that was a yes. I'm not sure what you said. You want to say it again?
Yeah, I did all my own stunts and Justified as well.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Okay. And this was the last movie that the late Herman Cain was in, right?
You bet. It's the final interview we had with him, and it's very powerful. I mean, it's, just to hear Herman in that last interview talk about how much his country, and he even sang for it. Very, very powerful interview. And the movie's available at shedhisgrace.com if people want to go take a look. It's really something that you can watch with your kids. It's a really fine movie.
Tell
and
people
don't
who's
just
in
say
it.
Say that because I made it.
Tell people who's in it.
Ben Shapiro. Yeah, Ben Shapiro, Herman Cain, Alveda King is in it. Ambassador Andrew Young is in it. There's just 20 really, really great interviews in it. It's historians, politicians, and a few actors and directors, and talking about how the culture's changed over the years, how the culture has turned away from God, and it's really very heavy, but it's an entertaining. It's great with your kids because it's a history movie that kids are not getting to anymore because they don't want to teach it to them.
Yeah, I hear you. Nick, Holly Weird, as I like to call it, has just, you know what the profession, the majority of the people have been like, along with the athletes, along with the academia, along with the recording artists, they've taken us down, this Marxist rabbit hole. Do you now see any hope amongst the entertainment industry? Is there any buyer's remorse? We hear Bill Maher, he's yipping about this, that, and the other thing, but it seems to me he's just mad because Democrats are going too far and he's afraid they're going to blow it. But do you see any buyer's remorse as you go around among people in the entertainment industry as to the direction the country is now heading?
Well, I think in terms of the entertainment, I don't think there's any salvage in the way. I don't think they're reformable. A lot of the entertainment industry is really beholden to foreign money, and a lot of that money comes from China, and very much influenced by the communist view of what they want to happen to America. And there are some people in Hollywood that are in on that game, and there are some people in Hollywood that just want to work, and they'll do it for whatever. They don't care where they're coming from. So I think what we have to do is build our own platforms, build our own studios, and leave that one behind. We've already lost half the country. We no longer have a country that's unified around a central. The only answer to this is to let them have their culture and build our.
Gee, you know, you said that 2 years ago that you thought a lot of these people were not reformable. That is scary, but it's playing out to be true because the more China comes into play, the more we see people embracing what, you know, and just turning away from American exceptionalism, turning away from America First, turning away from God's family, country, constitution, which is what your movie is completely about. Do you see a solution? What must we do, or what can be done to get this country back?
I think long term, we have to do what they did. They do the institution 50, 60, 70, been going back, teaching our children that this is an evil, racist country, it's irredeemable. They're doing retained for America in a lot of the young people's minds in place. And so it's going to take a long time, but we as conservatives have got to invest in storytelling and get into the game by adding it completely to the left. We have any ability of influencing our children. And so it's going to take conservatives have got to step up, start realizing half the money into this game, or else there is no game.
Nick, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry for that people could hope they could get the gist of what you were saying, because there was, breaking in and out. I do want to bring you back hopefully in August to talk about your movie in depth. Tell people how they can reach you or how they can get your film.
You can get the movie at shedsgrace.com. 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 You can buy it, download it, or buy a DVD. And you can always find me on Twitter at yesnickcersei. And Megan, another film.
Thanks for coming on. You're a great patriot, and I do plan to bring you back. I'll get in touch with you and see if we can come on later in August and talk about the film. But thank you for coming back. You were my very first guest, and I definitely want you back for this. So thanks for coming on. Nick Searcy, everybody.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome. God bless you and your family. You know, you remember him from Art Mullen in Justified. He was also the director of the movie Gosnell, about America's biggest serial killer. And his latest movie is called America, America, God Shed Its Grace on Thee. One of my most compelling guests ever was Virginia Prodan, who in communist Romania, would not stop yapping about Christian and human rights. So the dictator, Nicolae Ceaușescu, sent an assassin. And this man had his gun trained on little Virginia Prodan, who's about, 5'9", 5'10". I said that wrong. 4'9", 4'10". And she stared down an assassin's gun and has lived to tell about it. And has written a great book called Saving My Assassin. She's been on the show several times. I love talking to her. And this is a woman that everybody needs to hear, because she came from a communist country. She's an adult in a communist country. So she knows what she's seeing here. And it's a scary proposition. I bring back to the show Virginia Prodan. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Gary. Thank you so much for having me back.
You're always welcome to come back. And boy, you lay it out there because you lived it. So let's start here. Tell people what you see. What does America look like now going down this Marxist rabbit hole as compared to what you left in Romania?
I had seen changes in America for 30 years or more, and more drastically after Barack Obama took presidency. That was a big, big and dramatic change. And even right now, even if we don't see it, they are making a lot of changes. The thing that I see is and can be fixed is that American people who never experienced persecution, who never, many of young people never travel to a socialist or a communist country, are fearful now more of the government than God, and try to depend on government more than depending on God. And if we continue like this, and we want to depend on government, is not my words, but is William Penn's words in 1668. He says, those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. And it's true. I experienced that in Romania. My parents didn't speak up, and I have to grow up in a socialist and communist country. But I fought against socialists and communists. I was, if you want to say it as a figure of speech, I was thrown into fire. I was arrested, and the government sent an assassin to kill me. But God was with me all the way, and he made me more than a conqueror. So I'm saying to American people, give your fear to God. Return to God, and he will heal us and will heal the land. If not, we will be condemned by our actions to live under tyrants, under the rules of people that lie to us in order to create a society without God and a society where you will be told what to do. They will take your guns away from you. You will be told what kind of profession to have. And what if you keep your kids or not? And the list can go on and on.
Scary stuff.
My advice to American people is, if someone wants to read my book, it's a great description of what socialists look like. But if you read my book, read chapter 3 of my book. It's a story of my uncle, who was not courageous enough, like many Americans now, to speak up and stand up. And when he finally realized that things are getting too wrong and the socialist was in power, guess what? They put him in jail and later on in a psychiatric hospital, naming him and labeling him a crazy person because he kept telling the truth. And when you tell the truth in socialist, you are called crazy.
This is true, or you're jailed. Now, everybody, I know they said, whoa, put the brakes on this thing and back up. Wait a minute. Now, you said she faced an assassin's gun, and she said she faced an assassin's gun, but she's still talking. So how did that happen? You got to explain. This was like a James Bond movie. You got to explain how an assassin who was about 6'6", and you're, 4'9"? And he has a gun,
yes.
And you don't. He's got the gun, and you don't. Please explain.
Well, I defended Christian and human rights cases because I believe that that's what God put on my heart and on my life as a mission. Unknown to me, when I was in Romania, under the surrounded by the walls of Berlin and the walls that Ceausescu built for us as a prison land, I had no idea that my cases became part of a United Nations report on human rights violations and also part of United States report on human rights violations, because a lot of people from different embassies started to be interested in what I did in Romania and will come to the courtroom and take notes and send it back to their country. But I didn't know anything about this. And you can imagine that that was a full exposure of the dictator, of what he was doing in Romania. And for that reason, President Ronald Reagan, who gave the Romania the most favored nation status with economic benefits, but that was tied to dictator and the regime to respect human and religious rights. Well, when I took the dictator to court, I exposed him. So he was very upset with me, and he arrested me, put me in jail, beat me, his securitate people, and put me under house arrest. And the final thing that he did, he wanted to get rid of me. So he sent an assassin, a so-called client, to my office. And when he came to my office, he pulled his gun and said, "I am not your client. I'm here to kill you." And he explained how he's going to kill me. And you can imagine that I was fearful. I thought that I'm going to die. It was so much noise inside of me. I heard my heart in my ear. He was screaming, my assassin, to me. And in all this noise, I heard the voice of God saying, "Share the gospel." And I did. And as I shared the gospel, the assassin put the gun on the table, noted several times, his shoulders relaxed, and at the end, he accepted Christ. And not only that, years later, he came to Dallas, Texas, where I live, and where I'm a lawyer now. I went back to law school, and I didn't recognize he had a case. And I didn't recognize when he came to my office. And as he heard that I am writing a book, my memoir, he asked me to let him write a chapter in my book. And he did. So now you have not only my perspective of what happened that day in my office, but also his perspective. And more than that, what God is doing in his life. It's absolutely amazing. And it's a great lesson that if the government in America tries really hard to divide us, we can still be united. Because I share the gospel with my assassin because I believe that he was a human being. And we as Americans have to understand, even if we don't like people that might not be in the same party like us, might not speak the same language like us or have values like us, we still need to reach out to them because they are confused. And we can befriend them and we can bring back to the truth.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a powerful testimony. Virginia, thanks for coming on. I have a question to ask you. My final question to ask you is, do you see buyer's remorse? Like, as you go around and as you speak, are you starting to see some buyer's remorse on the left that they're like, wait a minute, this is more than I signed up for?
Yes. Anywhere I spoke, in Christian, conservative, and non-conservative, I have seen people standing up and saying, "Ma'am, nobody told us this part of the story. You lived it. We don't want to create this kind of society." When people are told the reality from a life of a person who lived, they change their mind. They realize if they were brainwashed and they want to know the truth. There is hope for America. Every one of us, we can share. If you want, you can buy the books, give it to others, because it will change life. I have seen that, and I am hopeful that we can change America one person at a time. Maybe 100 people when I speak, or 1,000 or 5,000, whatever that number is. But my testimony I have seen, and I'm doing Facebook Live. I have a podcast, Courageous Leadership with Virginia Pradhan. People can go on my website, virginiapradhanbooks.com, and can put their question, and I will answer their question. I am here to answer any question that somebody might have. And I will answer those questions from my own life, not from a book. And I'm happy to do this because I believe this is my mission now in America. And I believe that we can do that, because if we return to God, if we return to the truth, share with others and see people for who they are, creation of God, even when we don't agree with their point of view, but sit down with them and ask them questions. Why do you believe this? And give them an example for your life. Or take my book and show them the page where I said what I said and everything. You will be surprised. People want to know the truth.
Virginia, I hear you. And I hope you get a great response, because your book is something else. You're something else. Keep on doing what you're doing. Thank you for coming on this show. You know, you're always welcome to come back. And I really appreciate what you do. And God has had his hands on you, because the only way you escape that assassin's bullet is by the grace of God. So once again, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Gary. And keep doing. You are changing lives too.
Well, I try. But thank you very much. Virginia Prodan, everybody. Now, people, I told you about the very first show, and I didn't know how the show was going to go, because I knew Burgess Owens. I had him in. Curtis Bowers I've been involved with, so I had him in. And Beverly Zaslow was telling me, okay, I can get you Nick Searcy, and I can get you Morgan Brittany. Oh, Morgan Brittany, oh, that'd be great, you know, because I knew about Politichicks, and, of course, I knew about her acting career and her actress career. So the show is Monday night, the 29th of June, 2020. It's Friday morning, early Friday morning. I knew nothing, and I'm watching American Soul, which is about Soul Train, 2 in the morning, watching James Brown and George Clinton having a fight in a club, and then I get an email, 2 in the morning, from Beverly Zaslow, hey, Morgan Brittany's in. So I call Morgan the next day. We talk for almost 2 hours, and away we go. Boy, I am so glad she is back. She's on the show 3 times. She's a longtime actress. Everybody knows her from Dallas. She tried to kill Bobby Ewing 3 times. Killing Patrick Duffy 3 times does not get you a lot of cachet in Hollywood. But Morgan did it, and she survived to live to tell us about it. But she's a great patriot, and I'm so glad to have back Morgan Brittany.
Hey, Gary, happy anniversary. This is awesome.
Thank you, and you are a big part, because, believe it or not, I never told you this, because, you know, everybody that's on the show, with exception of Nick, who was my very first guest, everybody else I have a personal relationship with off the air. Like, you know, we talk or email back and forth, and, you know, during the course of the year and everything. And what really, really gave me a lot of confidence going on to that first show, because I didn't know you, when Bev sent me that email at 2 in the morning that you were going to come on, I called you that Friday, and we talked for an hour and a half. And just from that conversation, I said, I can do this. Because just talking to you and just hearing how conservative you were and how you treated me, didn't know me, knew I was just a new Jack trying this, and you just came out with you know, so much love. I really appreciate it. It helped me get started. So thank you for coming back.
And you're welcome. I know a star when I hear one, right?
Yeah, you. That's a star. So speaking of stars, the one question I want to know from you is, boy, you go back 6 decades into Hollywood. You started on Sea Hunt, Lloyd
right.
Bridges when you were a kid.
Right.
So you went through so many decades. Please tell people what Hollywood, or Hollyweird as I call it now, used to be like, and when you saw the change and kind of how it kind of spiraled down.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Yeah, I started in like 1956 in black and white TV before it turned to color, and everything, you know, most of the stuff was either live, like the Steve Allen show, which I did live commercials on when I was 5 years old, and of course Sea Hunt was one of the iconic early shows that they had. But, you know, throughout the 50s and 60s, when I worked on shows, I mean, you know, old-timers will remember Rawhide, Gunsmoke. They'd remember the Andy Griffith Show, where I played Opie's girlfriend, My Three Sons with Fred McMurray. All of those shows that I had the great pleasure of working on were done in a different way than things are done now. Back then, it was the ultimate goal of Hollywood to present to America a uplifting stories, stories of family, stories of humor, things that were not pushing a political agenda. There were families like Father Knows Best and the Donna Reed Show. And there were, you know, I loved doing the Andy Griffith Show because it had heartwarming interaction between Opie and his father and Aunt Bee and Barney. It was just, it was a great 30 minutes of entertainment. And even in the motion picture business, and when I did films with great directors like Alfred Hitchcock. I did The Birds and Marnie for him. And Gypsy with Natalie Wood and Rosalind Russell, directed by Mervyn LeRoy, who had done The Wizard of Oz, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, so, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, so, you know, I had really, because I was in the business, at the, it was kind of like the twilight, I guess, of the golden studio era, because in the late 60s, I could see a change. As I was growing up and becoming an adult, the last movie I did was with Lucille Ball and Henry Fonda as a child star called Yours, Mine, and Ours. And that was kind of a turning point. And I started seeing projects that were sent to me that were, they were pushing an agenda. You know, things were getting more violent. Things were getting more, I guess it had to do maybe with the whole attitude of the country after the Vietnam War, or the Vietnam War was still going on, and there was unrest, and there was a, you know, it's kind of like today. I mean, I see a lot of things that are very, you know, much a parallel to the 60s. And I had a really bad time, which I told you, transitioning from a child actor to you know, an adult actress, and it was very difficult for me, and I moved to New York and started over, but that's another story. I did look at projects, and the things that were being offered were things that I just did not want to do. They were introducing, you know, where every young actress had to do nudity. There was a lot of drug use. There was a lot, you know, you think back to the 70s, and it was just kind of crazy. But back then, the American people stopped going to the movies, and the movie industry, the studio system, was dying. And if you remember, the big major studios sold off everything. They sold their property. They put up condominiums because they thought, well, nobody's going to the movies anymore. It's just not happening. And I remember when MGM sold everything. They sold their archives, their wardrobe department, everything. And there was a big switch where I think people rejected what they were being offered in the movie industry. They just didn't want to go see it. And so they went back to television, and television started doing shows like The Brady Bunch, Partridge Family, Touched by an Angel came out, the Michael Landon Show, the Western that he did. I mean, really good, wholesome things were coming back.
Oh, now, Morgan, huh? I'm almost in tears, but you got to tell us what happened. We know that. What went wrong?
Well,
what happened?
There's always been an agenda, Gary. There's always been underlying in Hollywood, there's always been a push for liberalism and progressivism. And they pushed it. A lot of times it didn't work, and they got pushed back. But they don't give up, and they'll continue to subliminally give people messages and make it sound funny and make it sound, you know, this is what all of America is like, and it's not. And I know these people because I've been around so long in this business, and they push that leftist agenda, and they are so far over now that it's just, it's unbelievable. And one thing that maybe a lot of people don't know, China owns the entertainment business. They
own
it.
There you go, people. You heard it from somebody that's been in the business.
They absolutely own it. They run the studios. There was the guy that came out, the actor recently, who was in Fast and Furious, and I think he said something complimentary about
Sessa.
Yeah, Taiwan. Well, the phone rang. You better get out there. You better eat crow, grovel to the Chinese, or else.
And that's a big-time former, you know, pro wrestler.
That's right. And it was embarrassing to see him do what he did. It really was. But yet, the Fast and Furious was coming out. The producers, the studios, they don't care about American audiences anymore. We don't matter anymore. It's all about foreign. It's all about Asia, China, India. That's where the money is.
Morgan.
That's why you see Nike and basketball and Hollywood, because that's where the money is and they own us.
Morgan, I hear you. Tell people, what do we have to do to flip this script? And by the way, the actor's name, the former wrestler, was John Cena.
John Cena, right.
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 Morgan,
mm-hmm.
What do we have to do to get our country back? And then please tell people how they can reach you or what you have available for them.
Well, what you have to do is we have to do what you're doing, what I'm trying to do, what Nick does, what all the guests on your show do. We have to talk about it. We have to wake people up. No matter if Facebook, I got censored last year by Twitter and Facebook about, you know, posts that I put up that were true, and they took me down anyway. But we have to find our own areas to talk to people, speak to people, tell them exactly what's going on, because they're not going to get it from the media. The news media is gone. They've sold out as well. And that's the sad, sad thing, is that everything in media and entertainment and music and culture has gone so far to the left. We have got to fight back. We really do. And it's up to each and every individual to talk to your friends, talk to people, get into a conversation, say, by the way, did you know? I mean, and people don't. A lot of people don't know. They don't know the influence that China has on us. They don't. And it is extremely frightening to me.
Well, we got to tell them.
We have to tell them. That's our job. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm sick and tired of being called a racist. It's like I look at them and go, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. I'm not. I don't accept it. And I don't. I say, look, I'm not accepting what you're saying because you're wrong. And they don't really have a comeback, because a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs. Many people do. But to speak up, it's like these people you're seeing in the schools going against critical race theory that are standing up at the meetings and saying this is unacceptable. That's what we got to do. That's what we've got to do.
I hear you, Morgan. Thank you very much. You know, you're always welcome to come back. Tell people how they can reach you.
You can get me on, I'm still with Politichicks. We've got our website, politichicks.com. When Twitter allows me to speak, I'm at Morgan Brittany and the number 4, Morgan Brittany 4 at Twitter. And you can talk to me there. And I have a Facebook page, Morgan Brittany Facebook page. So absolutely, you know, I'm working on pulling a lot of my old memorabilia together and writing a quick book, if I can, about Hollywood, just anecdotes that I remember, what it was like to work with Hitchcock, what it was like to work with Lucy, you know, the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff that people don't know, and I'm putting a lot of that together. But we got to fight for this country. country is amazing, and we cannot let them do what they're doing. We can't.
I hear you. Thank you for coming on. You know, you're going to get a call from me because one of my best friend wants to know, when you were in Caesar and Me with Jackie Cooper, why you gave him such a hard time, but I got to move on. We'll talk about that later.
That's right,
everybody,
Twilight Zone.
Right, everybody. Morgan, Brittany, everybody. Thank you for coming on, Morgan.
Oh, thank you, Gary. Happy anniversary and God bless you.
Thank you. Same to you and the family.
Okay.
Morgan, Brittany, kill Patrick Duffy, Bobby Ewing, not one, not twice, but three times. On Dallas. And speaking about killing, this guy kills it, but in a good sense with his photography. You know, Gene Ho was Donald Trump's personal photographer in 2016 during the presidential campaign. He was a liberal then, but he was won over by seeing who Trump was and what he was really about, all the liberal backlash, and just turned around. And now Gene not only is a rock solid conservative, a Christian, he's running for the mayor of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's Diamond Silk's personal photographer. I'm glad to call him a friend, Gene Ho. Gene, how are you?
Hey. Very good.
Gene Ho, how you doing, man? We made it to 1 year. Can you believe that?
Yes, congratulations.
No, come on. Do you really think I'd make it to 1 year?
No. Just like your last guest said, I know a star when I see one. I tell you what, it's very good, very interesting, and doesn't hurt that you had me on early on to help you. No, I'm just kidding.
No, hey, Gene, come on. No. I'm not gonna let you get away with that. People, you gotta understand something. You put up a picture of Gene Ho, it is clickbait. You will get all kind of people. People know who Gene is, or maybe they like the long hair and all dressed in black. But every time I put up a Gene, you just throw up a picture of Gene with Diamond Silk or Gene with Trump, and you get hundreds of responses. So you told the truth. Gene, please, you're one of the few guys that are out there running around doing your thing. Tell people what you're hearing, and do you think buyer's remorse is kicking in with Biden and Kamala Harris thinking they're in the presidency?
Yes, and to be honest, if you go back to the last discussion we had, I'm sure it's archived somewhere, you asked me the same question, and I was honest the last time. I said, no, I'm not really hearing something. I don't know if you remember that discussion. But I was honest. Last time I said no. I really didn't know too much about buyer's remorse or anything like that. But I tell you what, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it now. I'm traveling around, and it's coming. It's almost like we had to see for ourselves, and people had to see on their own what's going on. I mean, it is really happening, and there is buyer's remorse out there for sure.
Yeah, and when they say buyer's remorse, here's the kicker to that. Is it buyer's remorse that we don't like what's going on, but are they really getting ready to flip their vote?
Hey, this is what we've been patiently waiting for. We're waiting for Maricopa County. We're waiting to see how it plays out. And like I said before, we as Americans, we want an accurate vote count. We do. If it turns out, hey, you know what, we checked it, our side checked it, lo and behold, it's right, Biden did win clearly and distinctively, just like it said, I'm up for that. I actually want that. For America, I want that. But in the meantime, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I think it's going to be a very interesting next couple of months here.
Yeah. So what is your take on what happened, how we ended up in this rabbit hole?
I think basically what happened, and I guess I can say this, is I believe the American people were robbed. And the thing is, you know, they censored us for so long saying, hey, you can't even say that. How dare you say that? But you know what? We have not only freedom of speech, which I believe that most people forgot, but we have not only freedom of speech, but we have freedom of thought. I mean, how could you say to us, to me, you, to say that, hey, deep inside, I think we were robbed, but I wanted to prove it, and fine. I'll bank everything on Maricopa County. If it comes back that it was accurate, exactly like what it says, if it was accurate, I'll be the first one to say, hey, that's cool. That's cool. We're the minority. That's cool, and we'll move on from there. But I'll be honest, I think that's not the case. I think Maricopa County is going to be the first domino to fall.
Certainly hope so. Certainly hope that's happened. Gene, since you're out there speaking to people, what do you tell them about how to get involved? Like a lot of people say, I've never done this. Like you never ran for mayor before. You know, a lot of people say, I don't know how to get involved. What would you tell them?
Hey, you know what? All of us have to ask ourselves, what could we do personally to make America great? And it seriously, hey, Gary, you know what? You were a journalist, but this whole radio thing, that is something you can do, and you're reaching many people with it. For me, I really do like the idea of running for mayor. For the first part about it, it really does inspire other people. I had other people decide to run for office, and it doesn't have to be mayor. You know, it could be school board. It could be for someone really volunteering on one of the boards in your local community. It could be anything, but it all boils down to what can we do personally?
This is absolutely true. And that is the thing, people. You know, you've been hearing it ever since they stole this election. Gene, there are all kind of people who are getting involved that never thought they'd get involved. And exactly what you said, running for school board, you know, running for city council, just getting in the system, getting involved in the process. Because see, what we have to understand, they did this. These Marxists have been pushing that football a yard a year for 75 years. We didn't lose this country to where we are now in one day, and we can't take it back in one day, right?
Right.
So, you know, we're going to have to just go out and do it. So tell people what you're doing and how they can reach you and about your great book, Trumpography.
Well, a couple things. First of all, if you want to go and check out what I'm doing with the mayor's race, it's very simple. GeneHo4, that's F-O-R, mayor.com. I'm also promoting my book. Just go to GeneHo.com for that. But I'm also on tour with General Flynn. So I'm on General Flynn and Clay Clark's tour. We're going next to Anaheim. Then from there, we're going to go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Colorado Springs. So I'm traveling around the country with General Flynn. So basically sharing what we can do as Americans. So there's a lot going on, and anyone can join in. It's a matter of getting involved, but if not getting involved, being at some of these events and just showing your patriotism, it really makes a big difference.
Thank you so much. I'm so, you know, you and General Flynn, that boy, that's some excitement there. And the Lieutenant General will be on this show the 26th of July. I met him twice at Rock the Red. I met him Friday night when Lynn Wood was speaking. I asked him, I said, I got a radio show. Will you come on? He said, yeah. And I asked him again on Saturday. I said, I'm taking a picture with him. CIA, his Secret Service, they're looking at me like, okay, and he smiled. So I knew they weren't going to jump me because he smiled. You know, I had Marie Spilani taking this picture. So I said, you going to come on my show? He said, yeah. You know, and I'm sure Tracy Beans of Uncover DC had a lot to do with it too, but the honor of commitment, it'll be on the 26th. Tell him I said hi. Looking forward to having him on. And you guys just, you know, knock it out of the park like I know you do.
Well, thank you so much. And once again, I just want to also, I did this personally, but congratulations on your anniversary here, and well-deserved, and it's rolling, so that's good. Let's keep it going.
Hey, thank you, and Gene, it's rolling because of people like you. Once again, everybody, Gene Ho, thank you. Gene, and looking to catch up with you sometime soon.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
I've got you right there. Yeah, Gene Ho, check out his book, Trumpography. It's got a lot of great pictures, but it also talks about his year with Donald Trump. The smoothest voice in radio, and Ron Edwards has been more than just a guest. Ron has been somebody that if I lost a guest, I could call a day ahead of time, and Ron would come on. And Ron knows so much stuff, and we have this soap opera going on because Ron's neighbors next to him are big-time Black Lives supporters, Black Lives Matter supporters. They're white. Ron's black. And they, you know, they're these big time liberals. So I always like bringing Ron on to, like, as the liberals turn to find out what's happening next. So I bring on the smoothest voice in radio, Mr. Ron Edwards.
Well, Gary, you're very kind, but hey, I'll never turn down a nice compliment.
Yeah, well, you deserve it because, boy, what a wealth of information. Also, thank you for having me on your show, the Ron Edwards American Experience, several times. And you know your stuff, Ron, and people really enjoy listening to you because you have not only a solid perspective, but you speak it in such common terms. You speak intellectually, but you don't sound, you know, it doesn't go over people's heads. You know what I mean?
Sure. I think so.
So where are we? Where are we in this country? Tell them where we are and what we can do about it.
We're in political hell and moral hell, but we can work our way out of it. But it's simple. We just have to band together as people. One of the things that has been in our faces forever is, as an example, is the unity of the Democrats and all the leftist pigs. No matter what, they've been unified, and they have been coming for bear. And it's not because, and they've been winning elections and they've been doing a lot of dirty things in this country, not because their ideas are better, but because they were smarter in their strategy. They were more focused on unity and winning the prize, whereas in many cases the Republicans, whether it's Portman, whether it's just name a rhino, I mean, there's so many of them, have been undermining President 45, the great President Trump. You had people like, oh my gosh, the chief of staff stabbing him in the back and preventing Trump, for example, from meeting more extensively with Ice Cube and other black leaders who simply wanted to have a deeper conversation with him, things of that nature. Republicans in some cases have been their own worst enemy because, you know, when you represent the dark side like the Democrats do, to me, evil is easily defeated. It is. But we just have to focus on the unity and know what we want as Republicans and not allow the globalist rhinos to have influence in our ranks. And we can push and we can win. I'm not ready to give up. I know you're not, Gary. You're a fighter. And there are many good conservatives out there. And I know it sounds basic, very elementary, pedestrian, but that's where we got to start because we have the best ideas. We do. The Republican Party platform is beautiful. It's wonderful. And we just have to fight better. We should not have been in a position to even get cheated out of that election. Had we been doing our homework ourselves, had 27 million Christians, for example, gone and voted, the numbers would have been too great, I believe, to overcome, even with the massive cheating scandal that is being unraveled as we speak and being looked into finally at this late stage of the game. But, you know, I understand – and some people even tell me this, Gary, that the Democrats have a lock, that it's over, that we gave it a good run, but we better just run and hide run for cover. But I just can't do that. It's not in us. There have been other generations that were under greater odds than we are, the ones who started this country. In their honor, we cannot give up. They were against the superpower of the earth. And they were like a third-ranked military force, but yet they beat them. We, the people of the United States of America, have no choice, in my opinion, to unite not only together with each other, but with our Creator. The Founding Fathers warned us many times. Read the writings of George Washington, John Adams, Samuel Adams, the doctor, I think Benjamin Rush, and many others, even Benjamin Franklin, who admitted that the Christian principles were the way to run this country and life is much better as such, but we have to fight. Was it Jefferson who said there's a need for a good revolution every 20 years? And he wasn't talking about necessary violence.
Physical, right.
But what he was talking about, I believe, is an intellectual revolution, meaning that we continue to pound each generation with the truth. And that's where we have failed as well. We've been afraid to talk to our children about conservative values. We've been afraid to push it because sometimes they push back. But every generation of young people, especially in this country of freedom, has pushed against the elders. And what we have to do is push even harder and stand up to what these teenagers are encouraged to do at their schools to push back against parental authority. There's some basic fundamental structural things that we have to reestablish big time, or as Trump would say, bigly, and very, very, very quickly. But the reason why I don't panic is because even though I say quickly, those principles work when they are applied. They're as old as, I don't know, since before Adam and Eve. So we just have to unite, not only as a people, one in one, arm in arm, but we have to link up, back up with our Heavenly Creator. I mean, without that, we're screwed anyway, but we have to, because he gives us the wisdom just like he gave the Founding Fathers the wisdom, just as he gave Frederick Douglass wisdom. All these people that had to overcome odds, it wasn't because, well, we just have to do that and we're just so smart. No, they were smart enough to contact or stay in contact with their Creator, who gave them his wisdom, which is greater than our wisdom, who gave them his strategy, which is greater than our strategy. And when you are empowered with those strategies and principles, you are strengthened. Your faith is increased, and thus your power is increased. Without that faith, David would have fallen in front of that Goliath. There was no way he should have whipped Goliath, but he did, because he had faith. And God guided that little pebble, or that stone,
right,
like a missile into the forehead of Goliath. We can do the same politically and intellectually and otherwise if we have to at this stage of the game against the Goliath called the deep state. I believe.
Well, you got that, but I got to ask you this. Since
sure.
You went there, you said God guided that stone. Great segue for me, because I want to know, how do you guide, when you're on the Ron Edwards American Experience, how are you guiding people to get involved who have never gotten involved before? What do you tell them? Because a lot of people want to get involved. They don't even know what the first step is. They don't even know what they want to do as a first step. And they think the first step is so massive, where really just start something. I just started something, and you never know where you're going to end up.
Okay. Great question. Love it. Let me start with from the political angle. Republicans have been eerily focused primarily on the federal level. And that's good. We do need the White House. We do need the Congress, we do need the Supreme Court, yada, yada, yada. That's fine. And we must keep the focus. However, we must broaden our focus more intelligently on the local level. Politics is local. And that's the other area where I talk about strategy, where the Democrats have beaten the crap out of us. Everywhere you look, Democrats are here. Democrats are there. In what seem to be small-time positions, which the Republicans many times overlook on the local level. But the Democrats fill those positions, rise through the ranks, and they're open for people coming behind them, whether it's in the boards, school boards locally, whether it's in the county positions, whether it's in the mayoral positions, city councils. And I hate to say this, but most of your inner city preachers are Democrats, and just as wicked. And that's
a fact. That's been a fact.
Okay.
For
okay.
75
good.
Years.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just have to, and that's the political realm. We can take baby steps. I forgot the delegates, delegation. We have to really increase our numbers as far as delegates. If our numbers are increased with true conservatives among the delegate ranks, we can affect and impact the quality or the direction of the Republican Party. We have to rid ourselves of the rhinos. And I'll give you the best example in America. The Republican massively dominated Republican state legislature in Michigan. You know what they're doing? You know what those bastards are doing? They are set to file suit against individuals who keep speaking out against the cheating in the election process, right, which happened in Michigan, which I've seen on video. See, we've got to get rid of these. Those are the knuckleheads. They're worse than Democrats, as far as I'm concerned. They're worse because they know better, but they're more willing to try to be liked by someone like Whitmer rather than working for their constituency and for the good of the republic, which they know they should do. And the reason why I know this is because I heard their campaigns. I heard their speeches. So they know what to say, thus they know the truth. But when you speak of the truth, but you act in an opposite direction, it makes you what? A hypocrite, which you're even worse than Democrats. Because at least Democrats, you know they hate God, America, the family, the man, the males, all of us. But at least they are true to their code. So we have to get rid of the Republicans that are not true to their code. And here's something that's very important, Gary. Where can they start? Starts at home. Starts at home, my friend. Start teaching, sitting with your boys and girls and reading to them even before they learn to read. Read them stories about the great figures of this country and do it in a creative manner. Make them interested. Then when they're older, do what I used to do with my son. When he'd come in, I'd have to deprogram him. I'd make him read a chapter in a history book, a real American history book. And at first, the first couple of times, I just told him to read it. And I said, well, I don't think that's working. So then I said, write me a report. So he's forced to learn it. It's in there.
I hear you, Ron. I hear you. Ron, that's a solid idea. Ron, you know, I have to go. Please tell people how to reach you. And, you know, as long as I have a show, you'll always be welcome back where you'll have more time to do your thing. But please tell people how they can reach you.
Well, folks, write this down. I know everyone has an ink pen and a sheet of paper. 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Sundays through Fridays. LateNightInTheMidlands.com. That's where they can hear my show. And you can see posted on my website where it's on radio stations around the country, the Nevada Talk Network, which is a string of radio stations. And there are independents that also carry the Edwards Notebook. And you can also reach my podcasts on all the major outlets, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Deezer, all of them. You can reach me there. And also, Gary, I was approached, I think I told you about this a few weeks ago. I was approached by a coffee manufacturer out of Virginia, and we have launched what's called the Constitutional Grounds Coffee. And folks can check it out. They can go to my website, theronedwards.com. And when you make your purchase, if you use the capital letters RE and numerical 20, you get 20% off your purchase. And it's the best coffee in the world. I was at a certain place. I cannot say where it was, but it was the greatest coffee that I had ever consumed. And the ironically, I didn't even know these people who produced it. They reached out to me because they've heard my commentary there in Virginia. And they said, we would love to do business. And here we are. It's been launched. It's in a soft launching stage now, but we're going to be doing more aggressive pushing it out there in the coming weeks ahead when I get back in town after Independence Day. But
I hear you, they can
check that out as well.
I hear you, Ron. You're always welcome back on the show. Thanks for coming on, and
sure.
Hopefully next year will be a big year too. Ron Edwards.
Gary, you gotta come on my show.
Well, anytime you invite me, as Michael Jackson said, you know, I'll be there. Hey, thanks.
Okay. All right,
Ron Edwards of the Ron Edwards American Experience. The rest of the guests who were on this year, the rest of the 69, Cleveland Rhodes, Nick Searcy, who you heard today, Jim Simpson, Reggie Skyrock and Ashley Danielle, K. Carl Smith, Presley Stutz, Dr. Carol Swain, Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, Brandon Tatum from Blexit, Michelle Terrace, Dr. Steve Turley, Clarence Mason Weaver, Kevin White, the author, and Pierre Wilson from Blexit. Those are the 69. I want to thank them. And I really want to thank and end this show by bringing on the Patriot Nation Radio Network crew, the people who have made it possible for me to be on this show. Mark Hoffman, this is his network. Melissa Petrie, she was the first studio operator of my show. And James Bostic, who has had an interesting night because Dr. Elena George was supposed to be on the show, but she got stuck in surgery. And these are the type of things that happen, right, crew? Is anybody there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're all here now. Dr. George is in surgery. Hold on.
James and I start tap dancing. And I want to thank Melissa for being the first studio operator. And Mark, thank you for having taken a chance with me.
Jeez, I wanted you to fill in for me and take over my slot. I was tired and worn out and burned out.
I know. It wasn't my time. It wasn't my season. I was asked and I couldn't do it. It just wasn't meant for me at that time. But when I was asked to do this, you know, I didn't want to do it, but then I did. So tell people about the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Well, Patriot Nation Radio Network's been on air for almost 9 years. It started after President Obama got elected the second time, and I couldn't believe what happened. I was in shock. And, of course, I don't have money. I can't travel to rallies. I can't do all this stuff. And I was, what can I do? What can I do? So I started Patriot Nation Radio so I could speak out and push for the impeachment of a criminal president who was letting men die in Benghazi and shipping guns to the cartels and from an Arizona gun shop and Operation Fast and Furious. And I couldn't believe what was going on. I had to do something. So my voice and a dream that I always had was to let it be heard on radio. So this is how Patriot Nation Radio Network started. And, of course, I met James through the World Integrity News Network. And we did Friday nights together for a year and a half on the World Integrity News Network. And one day we threw up our hands and said, enough's enough. We got to do this on our own. And me and James set off as the best 1-2 punch in alternative radio. And we still continue to this day. It's probably 6 or 7 years of a conservative perspective and Patriot Nation Radio back-to-back on the air.
Mark, tell people when they can hear your show.
Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Find me on Facebook, Patriot Nation Radio Show Live, Patriot Nation Radio, and Patriot Nation Radio Network. There's pages and groups. If you just put in Patriot Nation Radio, it'll all come up. I've been doing it for a long time. Google us.
Yeah, it's a great show. And Melissa Petrie, you know, you were my first studio operator and helped work that board and call the people and answer the calls. I know it was probably crazy for you. So just, you know, we only have a minute here, but just tell people what it was like for you at the start of this venture.
Well, Gary, it's actually been a real honor. I started out with James when he was doing his Friday nights, and then we moved over with Mark and James then after that, and then came on for you a few times. And it's been a little crazy, but, you know, I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot, and I'm grateful.
Well, yeah, you know, people, you got to understand, nobody's getting paid for this. This is just a labor of love for God, family, country, Constitution. So I really appreciate you.
And it was very nice to meet you all.
Right, down at Rock the Red. Yeah, and I appreciate you. Mark, thank you for having me on. I appreciate what you did, Mel. James, you're invaluable. I mean, just like what happened today with Dr. George, everything got all flipped around, and she's in surgery, so things are here, there, and everywhere, and you always keep things, find a way to keep the show on the rail. So tell them when they can hear your show.
Well, we can start with tomorrow night, Gary. I'll be on for 2 hours, starting at 7 p.m. We also do a Thursday show, 7 to 8, as we'll talk with, thank you, Penelope, with my wingman, the handsome one, El Guapo. And we have a recorded version of the program that's on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, and that's Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey, I thank you. I love you all. Thank you all for helping me out and getting through this first year. That is the Patriot Nation Radio Network crew. I will be back July 12th. I'm not doing the 5th. Too much fireworks. with Dr. Nicholas Giordano, Wendy Mahoney, Keisha King, Joe Mobley, and others on critical race theory, and then Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Tracy Beans, and Ted Harvey on the 26th of July. Thank you for listening in. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.